We discussed last time in Perek Vav the incident that took place with the Aron being transported and this Peretz that took place in Uzzah. We discussed a little bit that why that happened and the appropriate ways of treating the Aron and the mistakes that were made. And at the end of the Perek, we talked about the celebration that David had, and the complaint that his wife Michal had against the way he was acting, and he said he was just humbling himself and just trying to honor Hashem and Hashem's Torah. Okay, with that backdrop, we move forward to a slightly different aspect of David HaMelech's kingdom and David HaMelech's life. And again, that is in Perek Zayin. So the Navi tells us in Pasuk Aleph, so David is settled into his home, and Hashem has made everything calm around him. He's not constantly fighting battles anymore. He's not constantly on the run. And it seems to be that he has fulfilled this that the Torah has said, that your job is to inherit the land, and then things are going to... are going to settle down. And then there's another task that a king has besides the physical land and making sure that they conquer the land the way they need to. There's a new dimension that now David is going to enter. And that with that, he makes a request from Nasan HaNavi. In Pasuk Beis, Vayomer HaMelech al Nasan HaNavi. So the king says to Nasan HaNavi, Re'ina, look! I'm sitting in a beautiful home, a beautiful palace made out of cedar wood. And the Aron that was just brought, right, that's the juxtaposition to the previous parak. They finally settled the Aron to the place where it's going to be. But it's not in a formal house. It's behind curtains. They're treating it respectfully. But what's missing? The Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash. It says, now is that time. Hashem has blessed me, I've become the king, I've been able to be victorious over enemies, things have settled down on the borders, and now the spiritual welfare of the Jewish people is my responsibility, and if I am going to be settled into a beautiful palace and into a beautiful home, then it is my responsibility to make sure that Hashem has won as well. That Hashem has won as well. Vayomer Nasan El HaMelech. So Nasan says to the king, Kol asher bilvavcha lecha say, whatever is in your heart, go out and do it, ki Hashem imach, because Hashem is with you. Now the Radak notes, what's missing in Nasan HaNavi's response? Usually when you are talking to the Navi, and you're making a request, the Pasuk will then tell us that Nasan asked Hashem, and then Hashem related what the answer is. That's the value of the prophet, the value of adding, the value added by going to the prophet, and then he prophesies and tells you what's going to be. We don't have that in the pasuk. Just that Nasan says, "Good, it sounds like a great idea. Go ahead and do it." And in fact, it seems that Nasan did not ask. He did not ask. He just assumed, yeah, God has been with you throughout. Everything is going well. Generally speaking, that Barbanel points out, David speaks with Ruach HaKodesh. He wasn't just, you know, the average Joe on the street. We're talking about a huge person, David HaMelech. So he says, go ahead and you should do it, and Hashem is going to help you. That was his assumption. With that, we can now understand the next pasuk. In pasuk Dalid, Vayehi Balayla Hahu, and it was that night. What happened on that night? Right. Often these things happen at night because a main way of communication of Hashem to the Navi was Bachalom, was in some sort of dream, not exactly a dream. Right? That's one of the differences that the Rambam cites between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, when we say that there will never be another Navi like Moshe, is that Moshe was able to converse almost with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly without having it to go through this medium of the dream. Vayhi b'laylahu, and it was at the night. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Nasan lemor. And Hashem appears to Nasan. Right? Nasan did not make the request of Hashem, but Hashem has a message for Nasan. Lech v'amarta el avdi el David. Go and tell my servant David, ko amar Hashem. So says Hashem, we're in Pasuk Hey. Hata tivne li bayis lishivti. Will you build me a house for my dwelling? Ki lo yashavti bebayis. I have yet to be in a house. L'miyom ha'losias b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim b'ari yom hazeh. Right? Nobody has been able to build, and nobody has built for me a Beis HaMikdash, a place, a dwelling, until this time. And I moved around. The Shekhinah bounces around from this place to the Mishkan, and it travels, and whatever, and the Eish, right? It travels around. Bechol Asher Hisalachti, Bechol B'nei Yisrael, and everywhere that I had to travel along with the Jewish people. Hadavar dibarti sachadjiv te Yisrael asher tivisi l'roses amiyas Yisraeli mor lama lo benisim li beis arozim. And whenever I would move around, I didn't say, did I say anything about who the person who I've appointed saying, why have you not built for me? Meaning, I've never asked anybody to build for me this beis hamikdash. You're not the first leader to exist. Right? There have been other great leaders of the Jewish people, and nobody has built the Beis HaMikdash. Why? I haven't tasked them with that role. It's a significant job, and it's going to be done at the right time, but it's not something that you can opt into. You have to be the chosen one, right? You have to be the person that has been handpicked by me to build the Beis HaMikdash. To build the Beis HaMikdash. And now, David. So you should say to my servant David. And again, that term "la'avdi David" is a term of endearment. This wasn't a musar shmooze. This wasn't David, you're in trouble, I'm coming back. No, but this was Nasan. You better go and tell David, and we'll see in a moment why he had to go tell him quickly. I was the one who took you from just being the lowly shepherd out in the field. Lios Nagid, Alamiel Yisrael, to be this leader, to be this general, to be the king over the entirety of the Jewish people. And I will be with you. I will not abandon you. We're together. We're in this together. And I'll wipe out your enemies. And your name is going to reach, great heights. And you're going to have a great reputation for what you have done and what you deserve. And I will make a place for my nation of Yisrael. And you're going to be in a much better situation than you were in the times of the Shoftim, as he's about to say. Right? Things aren't going to be so rocky. Right? The Shoftim was an up and down period for the Bnei Yisrael. They were constantly doing what was right. Then they weren't doing what was right. Then things would get better. And then the Shoftim would come. Now things are calm. We're in a good place. You are doing a great job. And I'm with you. And I'm going to keep the enemies at bay. V'higid l'cha Hashem, ki bayis yaseh l'cha Hashem. And Hashem is going to make for you, David, a bayis. What does that mean? What does that mean he's going to make for you a bayis? It means you're going to have a legacy. I mean, you're not a one-and-done king like Shaul. So this isn't something against you. And you should know that we're together, and your children are going to be kings as well. The Malchus is going to be Malchus Beis David, the kingdom, the Davidic dynasty, forever. However, Ki yimlu'u yamecha, when your days are finished, v'shachavta savosecha, and your full life is over, v'akimosi azaracha acharecha, I'm going to put one of your children as the king, asher yetzei v'meyecha, again, right, one of your direct descendants, v'achinosi az mamlachto, and then I'm going to establish firmly his kingdom as well, and hu yivne bayis l'shmi. The son, not you, but the son that comes from you, and the son that continues your legacy that you have established, he's going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'chonanti es kisei mamlachto ad olam. And that's going to be a malchus which lasts. And I'll watch over him, David. Don't you worry. Ani eheyo lo la'av. V'hi ali l'bein. We're going to have a close relationship. I'm going to be as a father to him. I'm going to look out for him. He's going to treat me properly, have the right relationship with Hashem. Asher b'ha'avoso v'chakti b'shevet Hashem u'b'negei b'nei Adam. And when he makes a mistake, I'll be able to tell him, you made a mistake. Right? Like a parent should be able to do to a child. Sometimes they do the wrong thing, and they need to be punished, and they need to... And then he'll come back. And there'll be... You know, moments where he has battles with people. That's also a normal part of life, especially when you're a king. But v'chazdi lo yosir menu, but my chesed's with him forever. Kasher asirosim yim shol, asher asirosim l'fanecha. It's not going to be like a shol deal. It's not going to be that it's going to be removed the way that I had to, that I was forced to remove it from shol. V'nenman beischom amlechto arulam l'fanecha. Right? Kisacho yenachon arulam. Your legacy is strong. The Malchus is going to remain. This was a lengthy message that the Navi relates that he wants Nasan to give over to David. And the two highlights that he seems to which stand out is why does Hashem go into so much detail, and the Navi tells so much detail about Hashem's conversation. It seems like he wants to make sure that when Nasan gives over the message, David doesn't think he's in trouble. David shouldn't think you did something wrong, and that's why you're not going and you're being punished, and you're being punished for it. But rather, the decision as to who builds the kings it's my decision, and my rejecting you is not because it's just because you weren't selected. The same way, no other leader since the time that B'nai Yisrael Moshe didn't build a Beis HaMikdash. Right? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. And the other thing which stands out is right away tells this to Nasan that night. Nasan tells Nasan to go quickly. Why does Nasan? Why is the need to go so fast? So some of the Mefarshim explain that he was afraid that David would take some sort of neder. You know, I'm not going to eat during the day anymore until the Beis HaMikdash is built. And he wanted to make sure to quickly stop it before David takes some sort of drastic measure because of his zrizos. Because again, this is going to be a project that he's going to invest, not just funds into, but really his life's work into. We'll try to understand a little bit later. Let's just see a little bit more how Nasan relates to the message to David. Why is it? It seems like it should be David. You know, this is the first time when things have settled down. Why does David not merit being the one? Again, it's just one generation off that Shlomo was able to do it and not David. So that will return to momentarily. That will return to momentarily. Oh. So Nasan has a job to do. Again, you know, it's hard to blame Nasan. It's a little bit Nasan's fault here, right? That he went through the up and down with David. David came to Nasan asking him, we would have thought as the Navi. And he didn't really respond as the Navi. He responded as an advisor, as a friend, as somebody close to David, but he did not ask Hashem. And now, once Hashem weighed in, the answer is not the answer that Nasan was expecting, nor David. But now he has a task to do, and Nasan's going to do it. Vayavo Amelech David Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. I'm sorry. So this last pasuk says, right? Cain diber Nasan al David. So the last pasuk says that he gave over the nevuah exactly as Hashem said it. That was his job, And what question now is, what is going to be, again, we'll see in the Pesukim, what is David's reaction? What's David's reaction? And then again, we'll try to understand why. Why is it that David was not able to build a Beis HaMikdash? So what is David's reaction? Vayavo HaMelech David Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. David goes, and again we're in Pasuk Yud Ches, and he sits before Hashem. What does that mean, he sits before Hashem? Rashi says Lifnei HaAron. The Aron was there, and he basically, he's at a loss for words. He doesn't know exactly what to say. He certainly wouldn't say that he's angry. He's probably a bit surprised. He's probably a bit disappointed. This isn't what he wanted. And he feels close to Hashem, and he wants to have this conversation. So, you know, he goes, nobody's in shul, and he opens up the Aron Kodesh, and he just sits and has a conversation. What are those words? Vayomer mi anochi Hashem Elokim u mi veisi ki avi osani ad halom. You know, who am I that I've come to where I am right now? You know, he just starts reflecting. You know, I was a shepherd. I was out, and I'm the king. I'm the king, and you're telling me? Again, there was a tremendous positive in the message. His main request may have been rejected, but he was guaranteed by the Navi and Hashem that his kingdom was going to last, and that his son was going to build it. Right? This isn't like, oh, you know, in 10 generations, somebody's going to do it. Your son, who you're going to know, he's going to be the one that's going to build this Beis HaMikdash that you dream of building. Who am I that I've benefited all this? You've done so much for me.
And
yet, I'm overwhelmed by the kindness, but it's insufficient, and that I'm not able to I'm not deserving of the honor that I got, and therefore I can't do what you're what I want to be doing. I'm still lowly in your meaning. He's trying to reiterate, right, that not only is he overwhelmed that God made him the king, but that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous kindness towards him, he considered the blessing to be insufficient and extended it beyond. Right? This is something which is great. A base of the Cholim Erachok. You know, you not only gave the Chesed to me, but you're talking about the future. This is, again, he's right now, he's just overwhelmed. You know, somehow, and again, it takes a great person, I guess, like a David, to be able, especially at a moment of disappointment, to really reflect on how much have I been given, and how much do I have? How fortunate is my lot? And Mizos Toras Adam Hashem Elokim. You know what role does right? Rashi understands that it's a question. Mizos Toras Adam Bitmiya. Right? What person really gets everything that I've gotten? Umayosif David Od Ledaber Elecha Vatayidat Zabdecha Hashem Elokim. What can I say? There really are no words in which I can try and capture my emotions and at the same time the thanks that I have for everything that you have given me. Bavur devarachoch lebecho asisa iskol agadol azosto dia asavdecha. Right, it's just because of you, and that all the greatness has come upon me. Akein gadalto Hashem Elokim ki ein kamocha. There is no being, no force, nobody as great as you, Hashem. And who is as incredible as the Jewish people? Goyecha bar, it's a singular nation, the land. Asher hochu Elokim lifdoso la'am, that you have chosen them and redeemed them from Egypt to be their nation. V'lasum lo shem, and to create a name for them, right? Somehow, as small as we are, everybody knows who we are. And then to raise the prominence of Eretz Yisrael. That you have redeemed from Egypt. And you have designated them as your people forever. V'atah Hashem ha'yisod lohem le'elokim, and you're willing to be their God. V'atah Hashem elokim, and now, this that you said, ha'davar asher divarta l'avdecha v'al beiso, everything that you've said about me and about my family, hakeim ad olam. V'aseik asher divarta, please, do as you have spoken. I accept the bracha. V'yigdal shimcha ad olam lemar, and we will do our part to raise the stature, raise the name of Hashem. Saying Hashem Tzvakos Elokim al Yisrael, who base Abdecha David Yenachon lefanecha, and your name will be exalted by the house of David, because that we understand is our role. What is that pasuk mean? Right, ki atah Hashem tzivakos. Right, for you Hashem, right, I revealed to your servant saying that I'm going to create a dynasty for me. Right, meaning the only. There's an inherent haughtiness in David's response that he's trying to lay aside, right? Which is that I'm telling you, like, okay, like, establish my kingdom for forever. Who am I to? The only reason I'm saying that, David, is saying is because you've already told it to me. You've said that this is what you're going to do. So and that's really what this whole tefillah is coming from. I'm not asking for anything more. Then okay, so just please do what you say. I appreciate it. I appreciate it all. V'atah Hashem Elokim Atahu Elokim Udevarecha UMS V'atzdaber L'Avdecha Asatah V'Azos. You've revealed all of this good to me. Please shower your blessings on me, on my children, forever. So, right, what does he not say anywhere in this tefillah? Please change your mind. You know, I asked to build a Beis HaMikdash. You know, please reconsider. And that seems to be part of the greatness of David, is that basically Nathan's message to him was, you're not going to build it, and davening's not going to help for it either. But David used it as an opportunity to give thanks to Hashem and to daven for his future generations. And he sat in this careful prayer and understood that this is not a role, as disappointed as he is, that he was going to have. And the question that remains is, why was David not chosen to build the Beis HaMikdash? Why was David not chosen the Beis HaMikdash? So there are several different approaches in the Mefarshim. We'll just focus, I think, on two or three. The most beautiful of the explanations in terms of turning it into a positive is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that David was shaken to his core that he could not build the Beis HaMikdash because he was convinced that there must be something wrong. He must have done something, otherwise he should be allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. How could it be that with this relationship that he's had and the establishment of everything, that everything has been going right, how could it be that he can't build the Beis HaMikdash? So the Medrash says that David asked why not, and was told from either through Nathan or by Hashem that a Beis HaMikdash that he would build would be so great that it would never be able to be destroyed. It would never be able to be destroyed. So David responded, great! So let me build a Beis HaMikdash and it will never be destroyed. And that is where Hashem explained the concept which we see actually in the Tehillim of David, right? When we have a Mizmor le'asaf elokim bo goyim nachlasecha. We have a song to Asaf that the goyim have come into the base of Mikdash and are destroying it. And the Medrash says, Mizmor le'asaf kina mi boyle. Mizmor is a happy song. Why is it a happy song they're coming to the base of Mikdash? It should be a lament. Kina. And the Medrash says that we praise Hashem and thank Him that shafach hamasko ala itzim v'alavanim and not on the people. And that's the message here, that Hashem destroyed the building. And that's what Hashem told David. Listen, if in the future, I hate to break it to you, the Jews are going to sin. And they're going to need to go into galus. There's going to be punishments. But if I don't have the base of Mikdash to destroy as a punishment, then I'm going to have to take out the punishment on them. Because they deserve to be punished. I would rather, says Hashem, destroy the base of Mikdash, bringing some pain to me, and making things more difficult, than wiping out or pulling a heavy blow against the Jewish people. And to that, David responded and said, okay, that I understand. That is one approach. The opposite extreme is that it was a punishment. What was the punishment for? The punishment for was exactly what his realization was. When did he realize that he should build a base of Mikdash? He goes, I'm sitting in a beautiful palace. How can I be sitting in a palace and the Aron's out there? And you know what the answer is? So why did you build your palace? First, at least ask, should I build a base on Mikdash? I shouldn't be the king of Israel, shouldn't be fully settled prior to Hashem's Shekhinah being settled. And then the in-between approach is based, I think it's a Radak in Divrei Hayamim, who says that David had a lot of blood on his hands. And again, it doesn't mean that it was his fault, blood on his hands, but he was a warrior. He was somebody who was forced to fight many battles. And sometimes that blood can't be so closely associated with the Beis HaMikdash. Again, even if it was spilled appropriately. It's just, those aren't the hands that you built it. But either way, I think the beautiful lesson that emerges is David's willingness to accept it. David's understanding that, okay, this is what I want to do, but it's not about me. Sometimes people have a big idea, they want to do something, and then it becomes about them, and it doesn't become about the institution, it doesn't become, again, about their greater intentions, but it becomes self-serving. And David said, no, and just thanked Hashem, and used it as an opportunity to reflect on the tremendous, tremendous kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Afreilichen Chanukah, everybody. Good to see you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Afreilichen.
Thank you.